I've been given a free subject to speak on. And I've chosen to speak from David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. We'll be reading that in a moment. Now, the reason I've chosen this is, honestly, I love this prayer. And it's a prayer that I use from time to time when I come to God and I just find myself speechless. It reminds me of how great God is. But it also reminds me of who am I that I can come to Almighty God. Little old me coming before Almighty God. Now I've got three thoughts for you today. And they're simply, who is God? Who is David? And who are we? So 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10. If you've got a Bible, have we got it up on screen? Don't worry, it's a short few verses. I'm going to read it out. And if you've got your Bible, please join me. 1 Chronicles 29. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? So our first thought is, who is God? And I understand that is a huge thing to kick off with. But I'm going to try and help you the best I can. There's this guy called Chris Tomlin. He's a worship leader. He's world renowned. And he's written a song. And it's called Indescribable. And hopefully we're going to have it played for us now. Now, some of you will know this. Some of you won't. The words will come up on the screen. The words will come up on the screen. If you want to sing along, then please do so. But think about the words that you're singing. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Pat. Wow. There are three words that David mentions in his prayer: glory, splendor, and majesty. In Psalm 145, David speaks of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and he talks about that as he's talking about God, the glorious splendor of your majesty. And it's something, it's wonderful, three wonderful words, but it's something that I've been pondering on now for a while, and it's really struck me. But and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to help you to know even more how great God is, but I'm going to do my best here. Chris Tomlin just helped me, and I thank him for that. The word glory represents beauty, high status, a title of God who is totally and utterly awesome. And when we think of the glory of God, we often look to the stars and the universe, and there's plenty of that going on in this YouTube clip. I heard it once said that scientists have run out of names to call the stars, and they've only just begun. So now they're using numbers. In Psalm 147, we find that God determines the number of stars. And he calls each one of them by name. Wow, have you seen the stars? Have you seen the stars on a clear night? Wow. We saw them on Scilly. Oh my goodness. Amazing. The glory of God's creation is truly awesome, especially when you begin to think about what God has done. As I said earlier on, I can't encourage you enough. Read Job 38. It'll help you to ponder on how great God is. I don't know what you think of the word splendor. It's not one that I tend to use often. But splendor and majesty seem to go hand in hand. For splendor is defined as majesty, authority, magnificent, grandeur. And Mike shared with us just last week about when he and Helen walked through that narrow passageway. It was a real good, great picture. I don't know whether you was here and you remember that. As they walked through that narrow passageway. Imagine Mike as well, a bit like that, walking through that narrow passageway. And then all of a sudden, wow, into this great splendor of the great hall. Wow. They were speechless. There were times on holiday where I just remember being so kind of speechless, gobsmacked, if you will, at the beauty, the amazing awesomeness of God's creation. Magnificence and grandeur would probably come to mind. Splendor for me, we sang it earlier, the splendor of the King robed in majesty, let all the world rejoice. It's a kingly thing. Royal robes, kingly splendor. Wow. Who is God? Well, our God is all glory. He is all splendor. He is all majesty. And he's the same awesome God that David praised in Psalm 145 when he said, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." But who was David? David was the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, the youngest of eight brothers, a boy who was handsome, glowing with health, a fine appearance. Now, the first king of Israel, King Saul, made David one of his armor bearers. And whenever the king had an evil spirit come upon him, he would call David to play the lyre for him, and relief would come to Saul. And it was David's God-given gift of music that led him in later life to write many of the heartfelt psalms that we find in the Bible. Now, in those days, of course, the Philistines were the dreaded enemy of Israel. And out of the thousands in Israel's army, David, a mere boy, was the only one who dared go up against the Philistine giant, Goliath, saying, "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God, the God of the armies of Israel." And moments later, imagine it, the stone flies from his sling, embeds itself in Goliath's head, and he goes crashing to the ground. What happens to the Philistine army? They panic, and they race off in the other direction for their lives. When King Saul had gone mad, and tried to kill David, David spared the life of the king, not once, but twice. "I will not lay my hand on the Lord," meaning King Saul. This is what David said. "I will not lay my hand on the Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed." After King Saul, David was the second king of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. That being said, David was never perfect. And we found that out recently, as we as a church looked at the heroes of faith found in Hebrews 11. And we were reminded that although David was one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, he was also a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer. Who was David? David was a man just like me, just like you, whom God chose to anoint. He was not perfect and sinned many times, but he had a firm belief in God's faithful and forgiving nature. And he was quick to confess his sins with all his heart. And he was one who learned from his mistakes. Now, this made me ask myself, am I quick to confess my sins to God with all my heart? Is that something that you are? Are you quick? You know that you've done wrong. Oh, done it again. I've sinned. I've done something wrong. Are you quick to turn back to God and say, "I'm so sorry, Lord. I've done it again. Forgive me"? Do you learn from your mistakes? Are you quick to learn from your mistakes? Sometimes I am. Fingers burn. Oh, don't do that again. But other times, I'm a bit slow coming forward. When it comes to worshipping God, David, I love this, David did it with all his might. David worshipped God with everything that he had. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it be great if we were able to do that? David ruled over Israel for 40 years. Then he died. Now, as we enter into September, and oh my goodness, it's the 2nd of September today, with all the up and coming events that we have planned for this month, where we will be sharing Jesus with all that come, may our prayer be that we would be like David and remember who God is and who we are. And as we humble ourselves before him, that he would powerfully use us in the days to come. Now, God used David to do many things, many great things. And although he wasn't perfect, David strived to praise God in all that he did. That was David. But who are we? Who am I? Well, I hear you say, well, hold on a second. Thousands of years ago that happened. Thousands of years ago. They were special times. They were times of heroes. That was then, and this is now. We're nothing special. Don't you believe it? Just think for a moment. There are a lot of people here today that will have their own God-given stories, special stories of how they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And even now, those stories are still unfolding because of what God has done, because God, what God is doing in our lives. We are special. We are special. For me, this takes us to the New Testament and into the book of 1 John 4, where we find that God is love and that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's love because he first loved us. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's love because God first loved us. Verse 9 states this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And it leads on to that great verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Shall not perish. But have everlasting life. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? Just think for a moment, and you'll be pleased to know that I am drawing this to a close, slowly but surely. Just think for a moment. If we are not special to God, then why did Jesus come? If we're not special to God, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Surely, if Jesus was the Son of God, then there's a great quote, and I'm going to share it with you now, and it's from the Jesus Storybook Bible. Forgive me, it's a child's book. It's a child's Bible, but I, for one, love it. Sally Lloyd-Jones puts it like this. He could have just climbed down off the cross. Speaking of Jesus, he could have just climbed down off the cross. Actually, he could have just said a word and made it all stop. Like when he did, when he healed the little girl. And when he stilled the storm. And when he fed the 5,000. But Jesus stayed. You see, they didn't understand. Some of us don't understand even today. They didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was love. God's great love for you. Wow. God's great love for me. Wow. Friends, this is special. Believe me, you, each and every one of you, you're special. Who are we? John 1 verse 12 states this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. Have you received Jesus as your Lord? Do you believe in his name? If not, ask yourself the question, why not? Each one of us have been born to be special. Don't live half a life. Receive Jesus, believe in his name, and you will realize your true potential as you become a child of God. Friends, think about it. God is all glorious. He is all splendor. He's all majesty. God is awesome, holy, merciful, almighty. God is love. And he wants you, each and every one of us, to turn to him and trust him and believe in his name. Jesus, God in the form of man, he's King of Kings, who came into this world because of his great love for us. And as he humbled himself, Philippians 2 puts it so well, as he humbled himself, he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. But death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. And on the third day, he rose, overcoming death for me and for you. He did that because of his great love for you and for me. But that wasn't enough. God did all that, but he did something even more. He left his Holy Spirit to live within each and every one of us, that we might trust in him, and help us, the Holy Spirit would help us to be who God wants us to be. Humble yourself before him. Who is God? God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he is the one who first loved you. Who is David? He is the one who learned by his mistakes and humbled himself before God and praised God with all his worth. Who am I? Who are we? We are created to be special. Don't live half a life. Receive Jesus and believe in his name and be a child of God, who God wants you to be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you first loved us. We just want to lift up each and every one of us here in this place, those people who have not been able to make it, Lord, those people who believe and those people who don't believe. And we just want to say, our Father, help us to know that we are special. We have been created by an almighty creator God, who loves us so much and wants us, even little old me, to put my trust in you. So we want to just pray for each and every one of us here, Lord. Lord, help us to know that you are God. No matter how we stand before you this day, Lord, will you just reveal yourself to each and every one of us and help us to know that you are God. There is no other. And that you love us. each and every one of us. Thank you. Thank you that you are God and for your great love for us. And we pray all these things in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.